Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Carry on, my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
Thank you, Jim. Tara Hartman, you're up next. And Charles Thornton, you're after him.
How about the Hortons? They were Democrats.
Mary, you cannot have an outbreak in this any longer. You do this every meeting. This is your warning. Please respect what the process here. Thank you, Tara.
So the meeting when they were talking about the Turning Point Way, the road to be renamed in honor of Charlie Kirk in Escambia County, 65th Avenue, which runs on the front of Escambia High School, you had a lot of people on both sides kind of expressing their ideas. And, you know, you had one person mostly against. OK, the vast majority were against, I should say. But then you had one person, Mary Konopka, who kind of yelled out from the crowd at one point after somebody had expressed a sort of pro Charlie Kirk sentiment and got scolded by Mike Kohler. I don't know her other than I guess she's maybe a retired chief in the Navy. I think if I'm wrong about that, I apologize. But based on some of the other things that he's said over time, Mike tries to be very, you know, generous with her generally. But on Thursday or on Tuesday, it reached kind of a, you know, boiling over point because he had decided, look, we're going to have order in this meeting and people aren't going to be yelling from the crowd. And that's it. And so when Larry Downs Jr. gets up to talk, well, here's what happened.
I didn't even know they called you racist, Chair. I didn't. I mean, that's the go-to. Racist, homophobe, misogynist. I mean, that's the easy go-to. That's how you silence people. And,
Mary, please take her outside. You got 5 minutes. You can come back in. No, you can no longer interrupt every meeting. I'm sorry. Larry, finish your final thoughts, and then we'll go on.
Anyways,
warning, ma'am.
Yell once, warn, yell twice, out. Especially on a very difficult topic like this. It's a close call, but I get what he's doing is he worries that, you know, well, what are you going to do? It'd be like, I don't know, if you don't do your dishes today, you know, and if you don't clean up your room today, you know, it's like how many times you got to warn a kid before there's actually
a
consequence?
Like he put her in a timeout.
Yeah.
5 minutes.
5 minute timeout, yeah.
Yeah, go put your nose
in
the corner.
Which is, you know, he could have her just removed from the whole meeting. And if he says, you know, go take a lap, which is basically what he said, you know, I don't know, doesn't offend me particularly. I think that he's trying to keep order in a meeting on a controversial subject that's, you know, making people very, 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 very upset. You had a guy named Charles Schuler, lots of folks talking. I think it's probably about 25 public speakers on the topic. Charlie Schuler spoke. He was bringing up kind of the history of Escambia High, where you had there used to be the rebels. Mm-hmm. He said the rebel flag, right. The Confederate flag, the, you know, race fighting or riots, depending on how you want to describe it, that happened there. Ooh, 80s? 80s? 70s?
I want to say 70s.
I want to say 70s, too. But anyway.
Commissioner Kohler, you named 65th Avenue that runs along Escambia High School that has had this kind of history.
Thank you, Charles.
After
you gotta wrap your
Kirk,
thoughts up.
You will raise those dusts of rage again. You're going to see those students march and their people march.
Thank
and
you,
we
Charles.
Don't need that at Escambia.
Linda
72 to 77. So that sounded, it wasn't menacing. I think he was just saying that, look, if you do this, you're poking people in the eye and you're making an offense to them that is likely to bring them out to do things you're not going to like very much. And they're going to, it's easy to interpret somebody as making a threat. You know me, I tend to err on the side of giving people some leeway. Rosa Johnson, another person who spoke about this.
You all are considering renaming a street. Rename a bridge, the 3 mile bridge, to Chappie James Bridge.
Now, when she was saying this, what I'm thinking is, didn't we? You know, but she had a point, and actually, I agree with her about this.
From my understanding, every time you have a conversation, you say the 3-mile bridge. When are you planning to change that bridge name to what it is, the Chappie James Bridge? Okay?
I agree.
And this is...
So she's not saying change the name of the 3-mile bridge. She's saying y'all aren't very consistent. You're making a big deal out of making a street change, and you won't even honor the name change of a bridge you've already done or that has already been done by FDOT. And if you won't say Chappie James's name, why are you so eager to try to make everybody say Charlie Kirk's name? Meaning, y'all don't really believe in name changes, even the one that you're trying to make happen. We've seen name changes before. You don't do it. Why would you be so emphatic about this? And remember, you know, my position on this is I did not think this was a great idea. I didn't think it had gone through enough vetting. It seemed problematic to me at best. Knee-jerk, you know, quick reaction. I thought there were better names. If you were going to try to honor Charlie Kirk, you know, you might have First Amendment Road. And I don't know why we got to name a street right next to the high school for it. Is that, I mean, it's just, all of it seemed weird to me. You know, particularly Escambia High, where we've had race issues in the past, it seemed. And look, I've listened to not all of Charlie Kirk, certainly. I mean, who could? It's like, who could listen to all of the Pensacola Morning News for 11 years? Who could listen? You know, I'm the only one who's heard it all. And even I haven't heard it all. You know, fill-ins, you know?
Well, okay. I was like, wait a second. Weren't you here?
No, I mean, you know, anybody has really heard all of the things. He said some things, and I've heard the quotes. Some of them, I think, are cherry-picked out of context. Some of them sound pretty awful. There's a variety. On race issues, I don't think the critics are being fair with him. I also don't think that they're being wildly unfair with him when they say he said problematic things. I found him to be very civil. I actually found him to be the kind of person like I try to be, which is, you know, acknowledge when people say things you disagree with, acknowledge when they say things you hadn't thought of, say you don't know when you don't know, say I could have said that better. Be generous in your debating is what I, again, just a couple of hours of watching him, that's what I experienced. Kind of like, look, to be honest, the way that I don't see President Trump behaving. You know, President Trump doesn't apologize, doesn't say he's wrong, doesn't say he hadn't thought about that. He's always, you know, I'm right, period, end of story. You're stupid if you disagree with me. I actually found Charlie Kirk to be a lot more civil and engaged in open dialogue with people than typically Trump is. But of course, it's not Trump's name that we're trying to put on this street. So back to this idea about, is it the appropriate thing to put on that street? I actually thought, you know, it's not going to be this, but it occurred to me that you could, if you really wanted to be kind of clever, you could say something like, violence is not the way. See what I did there?
Oh,
see, because
no.
Like a way is, no, I mean, you're not going to do that, but
yeah,
I don't know. It just, these are the kinds of things I was thinking about while they were having this conversation. Right. And I actually very much agreed with the idea that, look, if we're going to have a name for a street, H.K. Matthews is the person, and several people brought that up in their comments. Is, you know, he was somebody that, I mean, he was from here. He served this community. He represented an important voice in the history of race relations in the country. I mean, naming the street after him. I mean, again, if you're going to name a street, if you're going to go down the path of having street names for people, which is problematic to begin with, but if you're going to go down that path, then, you know, name the street for somebody who's from here, significant here, not wildly controversial. And whether you like him or hate him, Charlie Kirk is wildly controversial, right? So that would have been my approach. Now, when we get down all the way down to the end of the meeting, there's actually a lot in this meeting. But when we got all the way down to the end of the meeting, Mike Kohler explained that he wasn't trying to do something to offend people, particularly not to offend black people, because he got accused of racism and extremism and all this. And listen, I know Mike Kohler. He may say things that are not ideal at times, and not in the sense that they're racist. I just mean he may say things that are, he maybe should have thought it through a little bit more. He might be wrong at times, but he and Steve Stroberg, I just don't believe they have any racism in them at all. I don't, from having talked with them quite a bit. And so, but what happens is people have this kind of interpretive matrix where if a person says a thing that you think deals with race and you disagree with politically, then you call them a racist. Like if somebody criticizes affirmative action or criticizes critical race theory or criticizes DEI or, you know, one of the things that has come up is this quote about, you know, when if Charlie Kirk quote that if you, you know, see a black pilot, you wonder, is he there because of his own merit or is he there because of, you know, some affirmative action type program? You know, is he really qualified to do the job in the way that everybody else would be? Well, that's a criticism of the policies of affirmative action, of racial quotas and of benefiting people on the basis of their demographics as opposed to on the basis of their test scores. That's a perfectly legitimate argument to have, discussion to have. Raising that question doesn't make you a racist any more than when Ashley Hoffberger says that she feels that DEI has ruined her reputation because as a woman, she feels like everybody assumes she got elected because she's a woman. And that's the problem with giving benefits to people on the basis of their demographics is everybody becomes suspect of your qualifications. Because even if you outperform the field, nobody knows that. All they know is, well, we give a bump to these kind of people. That's a kind of person. So I don't know whether they're really qualified or not. I don't know whether they really belong to be, you know, deserve to be here or not. So that interpretation of the policy, or, you know, you're against welfare, or you're, you know, against, I mean, there's just all kinds of policies that we should have meaningful disagreements about. Instead, the left historically has said, well, if you challenge that policy, you're racist. And if you're black and you challenge that policy, you're an Uncle Tom. I mean, that's just kind of been how the conversation goes, which is disgusting. Just talk about the policy and stop, you know, alleging that people are morally evil when they're really just disagreeing with you about, you know, the policy. So it gets down towards the end after everybody else has spoken and Mike says this.
Let me tell you how this came about. On September 10th, there was a political assassination. No matter if you like Charlie Cook, you don't like Charlie Cook.
He knows it's Kirk, but somebody earlier had said Cook, and I think it just kind of got stuck in his short brain, you know? Like, you just kind of, not intending to it, he's just trying to speak, and you just maybe forget, and you don't have a producer next to you to say, hey, it's Kirk.
I would use a taser on you.
Would you?
Cattle prod.
This was never about offending black people. I will tell you right now, this was about literally fighting against political activism, assassination, and all the things. And I denounced, and I'll say it right now, Melissa Hortman, Democrat, that got killed. Governor Shapiro, bombed his mansion. Speaker Pelosi's husband, brought in a hammer. President Trump, tried to assassinate two times. Erna Zersky, stabbing. But I've listened to everyone here. This was never about ramrodding something down anyone's throat. It was about political tolerance. It's about a place where we can live and respect each other.
And by the way, I would absolutely add Brian Thompson to that list. That's the healthcare CEO for United Healthcare that was killed allegedly. I mean, I don't know that anybody really doubts this, but that was, you know, he hasn't been convicted yet. So of Luigi Mangione. I mean, you have people out in the street outside of his hearings wearing Luigi costumes and cheering and celebrating him. It actually had occurred to me the other day that this problem of cheering for murder is I don't know if there was another one prior to Mangione, but that's the one where we really saw it the worst. It's the first worst. Where we saw people actively celebrating the murder of a human being over ideas that they disagree with or over a practice that they disagree with. I mean, that's horrifying. It's horrifying that there are people out there cheering for him. He's got, $1 million already in his legal fund, GoFundMe or whatever? $1 million that people have contributed to that? Everybody deserves a good legal defense, but my God, you know what? What kind of human being donates to that? Well, okay, so what did they do with the street? Oh, and the you know, the legislator in Wisconsin who was murdered and her husband. Yes, it's awful. It's wrong. It's evil. It's wicked. They should all be equally condemned. All of them. That's right. and Charlie Kirk. And so I like that Mike Kohler mentioned that. Now, what they wound up doing is he said, I'm not going to push this anymore. We're going to drop this. You know, and then they had a conversation. What he was hoping the board would do would come out with a statement condemning political violence. They didn't do that either. They just kind of wound up doing nothing other than have the conversation. And that's useful. I mean, it's useful to just have a conversation where you talk about race and where you talk about ideas and where you talk about tolerance. You know, we've been doing it quite a bit on this show, as you know. We took a break yesterday. Took a mental health day yesterday. I can't believe you told me I was taking a mental health day for the show yesterday.
But I liked it, though.
Yeah, it was different. It was good. But now this. So in the end, what we should be talking about is, what does free speech mean? What does tolerance mean? What do we as a society believe in? And, of course, you know, with the cancellation, temporary anyway, suspension of Jimmy Kimmel after the pushback from two massive, you know, networks that own television stations that air him, Sinclair and Nexstar, and now the FCC threatening if they don't pull him and his comments, which we obviously have not played yet, so I'm not going to get into the big details on that. Everything with the graffiti bridge where you have, you know, a guy goes in there and spray paints over the painting of Charlie Kirk, and then he gets hit and elbowed and bear sprayed or whatever, pepper sprayed, and they get charged, or they're, you know, one they've gotten custody, one they're looking for. You know, we have significant things to talk about. The Texas Roadhouse, you know, digital lynching, which I have more to say about that because I never did read the letter from the server that I thought was very interesting. We'll share that later on today. We just don't have a very good grip on what it means to be a citizen and what it means to put up with other people who are citizens, and why restraint is valuable and why we should be more tolerant of people when they don't exercise restraint, and this notion of, you know, punishing people for the speech that they, even the horrible speech that they give, you know, historically, that's what we protect. And we are really in a dangerous place right now, in my opinion, in terms of not just forgetting that, but celebrating the forgetting of that. But we are also in a dangerous place where a significant number of people think that it's good to use violence in response to people doing things or saying things we don't like. And that's awful, too. So we'll talk about this more throughout the day. 526 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hey, can you blow up some balloons for Jack's party?
I can't. I'm so congested.
You need Sinex Severe from Vicks.
Sinex Severe nasal spray?
Yeah, just Sinex. Breathe.
Sinex Severe instantly relieves nasal congestion and works 6 times faster than nasal decongestant tablets. The 12 hours of relief allow you to get back to the moments that matter without congestion.
Daddy, we need more balloons.
On it.
Try Sinex Severe from Vicks. Just Sinex. Breathe. Use as directed.
Visit Pensacola is home for all things Pensacola. I'm Darren Schaefer, CEO of Visit Pensacola. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel this week as we discuss what is next for our community.
The fall season in Pensacola is a lot of fun, from the seafood festival, taste of the beach, and so much more. And you'll find out how you won't miss a thing.
Today at 9:30, let us show you the way to beach on News Radio 92.3.
It all comes down to this, folks.
Yep, the entire season is on the line.
But my throat has officially thrown in the towel.
Sounds like you need Vicks VapoCool drops. They're max strength and vaporized sore throat pain.
Whoa! These VapoCool drops hit fast!
Speaking of fast, did you just see that play?
Yeah, he vaporized that ball.
That pun should have come with a penalty.
Vaporize sore throat pain with Vicks VapoCool drops. Use as directed.
VapoCool.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Corporate accounts payable, Nina speaking. Just a moment. Corporate accounts payable, Nina speaking. Just a moment.
John turns to me and says, "What's that from again? Office Space?"
I forgot.
Yeah. Man. Oh, the movie's so great.
Yes.
It's so great and terrible. 528 on News Radio 92.3. John never wears enough flair. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
How many pieces of flair do we need here?
It's not about the pieces of flair, David. It's about your heart and your enthusiasm. What do you think of someone who only does the bare minimum?
That was my favorite movie. All right. So police and first responders at the scene of a military helicopter crash near Olympia, Washington. The Thurston County Sheriff's Office there says deputies responded to the crash site. It was near Summit Lake just before midnight. The sheriff's office says they were advised the military lost contact with the helicopter in the area. A local TV station there reporting that rescue efforts were stalled by a fire at the scene. It's not yet clear how many people were on board. In Pennsylvania, they're mourning three police officers killed while serving a warrant in York County yesterday. They've got flags flying half staff across the state. They say that the suspect was killed by police officers. Also, a separate incident in Pittsburgh as well, involving a man that apparently rammed a car into an FBI security gate and then draped a flag over it. And they're treating that as an attempted act of terror, although they say nobody was hurt.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. In case you're wondering, Joint Base Lewis McChord is an Army base primarily, although I think they might have some air assets as well. But primarily it's like Rangers, and it's got an Air Force contingent as well. So if you were wondering if it's a Navy installation, I don't know if they might have elements there, but, you know, horrible if we... there's a lot of unknowns about this. I was trying to get some quick information on this possible helicopter crash, and they seem to be not even sure that it's a military helicopter, but, you know, we'll obviously be paying attention to that throughout the morning. 5:30 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. President Trump is meeting with Prime Minister Keir Starmer on the second day of a state visit to Britain. After a day of royal pomp, the agenda today turns to politics.
Trade, Russia's war in Ukraine, and ending the war in Gaza will be top of mind and on that agenda today. And also the president's meeting with business leaders. And President Trump will be holding a press conference alongside the prime minister.
That's Fox's Lucas Tomlinson. ABC pulls Jimmy Kimmel live after comments Kimmel made about Charlie Kirk.
This after Kimmel said during his Monday monologue, quote, "The MAGA gang desperately trying to characterize this kid who murdered Charlie Kirk as anything other than one of them and doing everything they can to score political points from it." Soon after, Nexstar Media announced it would replace the show with other programming in its more than 30 ABC-affiliated markets.
That's Fox's Kristen Goodwin. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. It's 71 right now. We've got partly cloudy skies in Pensacola. We'll get to our forecast with Brooke Richardson in just a few minutes. A teenager was shot several times last night attempting to break up a fight on Kramer Street and Untrainer Avenue in Escambia County. The teen, a man, and a woman were in a vehicle when a suspect approached and reportedly began hitting the other man in the vehicle. When the teen tried to de-escalate that incident, deputies say the suspect shot him several times. The suspect has fled the scene. Investigators are now looking for him. They do have a name, but that has not been released. And right now, we don't have an update on the condition of the victim. The Waterfront Rescue Mission in Pensacola is set to add kennels to its property. The county's Board of Adjustment recently approved the mission's plan to create a space where people experiencing homelessness can bring their pets. Currently, there's no shelters in the area that accommodate both individuals and their animals, which has discouraged some from seeking help. The new kennels will have the capacity to hold up to 16 dogs, with the possibility of accepting cats as well. The climate-controlled shelter will be designed like a mobile home for animals, where the project is still in its early stages and they don't have a specific timeline. Officials estimate startup costs will be possibly exceeding $160,000. The mission plans to partner with the Escambia County Animal Shelter for maintenance and intake at the kennel, and there would be restrictions on the types of dogs that are accepted. A major drug trafficking operation in Okaloosa County has been dismantled after a multi-year investigation by the Okaloosa County Sheriff's Office and the DEA. The organization was responsible for distributing cocaine and fentanyl sourced from Houston, Texas. Four individuals, including State Correctional Officer LeKendrick Ford Davis, were arrested for their roles in smuggling the contraband into the prison. Taj Tariq Tambora Robinson and Rashid Robinson face serious charges as well, including conspiracy to distribute over 5 kilograms of cocaine and 400 grams of fentanyl. The investigation has resulted in multiple federal indictments and significant drug seizures. Well, one person's dead after becoming unresponsive on an amusement park ride. Universal Orlando Resort says a guest died last night after going on the Stardust Racers ride at Epic Universe. The guest lost consciousness on the ride and was taken to a hospital where they passed away. The Orange County Sheriff's Office is investigating. The Stardust Racers in Celestial Park is described as a dual-launch coaster with speeds of up to 62 miles per hour. It is 5:34. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
We are going to have a beautiful day today with a high near 89 degrees, mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 68. For Friday, mostly sunny skies, high near 89. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 71. Going into Saturday, high near 90 degrees, sunny skies. And by Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 72. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
71 in Pensacola, 70 in Gulf Breeze, 65 in Milton. Our next news at 6. And breaking news anytime, I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Hey, Northwest Florida, Dave Ramsey here. I want to tell you about my friends over at Gulf Coast Air Care. Owner Todd St. Ors and his team focus on the indoor air quality side of HVAC for the people who want comfortable, healthy, and energy-efficient homes and workplaces. Gulf Coast Air Care can help you with dusty, moldy, or leaky duct systems, hot or cold rooms, and odors and humidity issues. So, if you need duct cleaning, duct repairs, or air filtration, you should call Gulf Coast Air Care today at 850-934-2768. They've been trusted members of the community for over 30 years. And remember what Todd always says, if you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Call Gulf Coast Air Care today at 850-934-2768 or visit them online at gulfcoastaircare.com. And be sure and tell them that Dave Ramsey sent you.
Love electronics? Join the award-winning team at ADX Communications, home of Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, ESPN 1330, and Pensacola's Playlist. We're looking for an experienced electronics technician who can keep our stations running smooth, from the studio to the transmitter tower. Competitive pay, great benefits, and a fun, fast-paced team environment. Apply today at catcountry987.com. That's catcountry987.com. ADX is an equal opportunity employer.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
Want to score tickets to see Florida State take on Kent State University tomorrow? Tap the News Radio app.
Tap the app.
Just download our News Radio Pensacola app and Monday through Friday from 5 a.m. to 5 p.m. Tap the app.
Tap the app.
For your chance to win.
Each day you enter brings you one step closer to being in the stands.
The winner will be announced live at 5:15 p.m. on Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Download, then tap that app.
Tap that app.
The News Radio Pensacola app. And get ready for game day with News Radio 92.3.
And if you just go on the public, on the property appraisers, and just start going down the, we own a lot of land. This is a lot of land that remains public into perpetuity. So it's a great thing. It's like having our own state park, city park. I mean, that's what we have essentially made, is a perpetual park here forever.
I think it's the largest, or at one point was the largest city park in Pensacola, and I'm sure it probably still is. So I was just thinking what you were saying. It's when you look at it on the map, people get surprised at how big it really is.
This was Jen Brayer, City Councilwoman Jen Brayer, and City Councilman Casey Jones talking about the Bay Bluffs Park and the size of it. I did what she said. I was like, oh, it is kind of a big now that I think about it. And I went on the property appraiser's map and looked it up. Holy smokes. It goes all the way from at least Summit down to like Mallory Street. I mean, it's a giant, long, strip basically of land on the east side of my brain. Scenic Drive. I'm like, 98, wait, what is it? and I mean, it's a lot of land if we wanted to do something kind of interesting with it. So we'll see. I mean, we're not trying to do it now. You know, primitive trails and simple and just opening it back up for access. But anyway, yesterday we talked about this a lot with Mayor D.C. Reeves. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, great to have you. So I know people have been talking about, you know, probably not going to have the scaffolding like we had before or have now and it's dilapidated. Maybe not just a full primitive path kind of thing, but I mean, that comment really got me thinking about, you know, what could be with this giant stretch of land that is maybe the largest city park potentially. You know, I mean, I think of the, you know, Greenway projects that we have possibles and, you know, other cities and what they do and Central Park. And I mean, it's not going to be like that, but, you know, just there's lots of possibilities here, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And as you know, the clip mentioned, you know, number one, part of this pledge and part of this funding was to ensure that it stays in the public realm forever. So no mayor after me can change their mind or privatize it or anything like that. But number one, and even that was not a guarantee pre this. So that's a net benefit, of course, to our community that it will stay in the public good forever. And then second to that, absolutely, we've got $2 million to reinvest into Bay Bluffs Park and get it open in some way. I have pledged to the community, and I'll give you an inside look at my conversations in the building right now. I don't care if all we have is a notepad and a pen. We are having a meeting in October about Bay Bluffs Park. because we've all been waiting, and I understand the impatience, and you know, lots of time that's rooted in misunderstanding of how hard we've been working to make this happen, or that we had already received funding. But, you know, we had an 8-month delay between some state agencies that had nothing to do with us. We weren't dragging our feet. We were ready to go. And so I certainly understand the impatience. I would be impatient, too. I am impatient, too, about getting something going. And so if nothing else, next month we will have kind of that kickoff kind of listening session. We aren't going to present anything. We're not going to necessarily say, here's what we're going to do or not do, because we really don't know that yet. But we want to get everybody's ideas down and you know, prepare our engineers, our consultants, our architects with some preloaded with some of this feedback from the community. So I think one important point on this last thing, Andrew, is that, look, $2 million, as I said in the meeting, this is not going to build a community center. Right. This is not, you know, we're going to have to temper the palatial ideas that we may have about what we can do with $2 million. Nothing says that in the future we couldn't get more funding to do more things. But I think what our goal is here is to get this back as a public amenity and do it in the most efficient way that we can. And so I think it's going to be lots of primitive trails, like you said, but that doesn't mean there wouldn't be some place to picnic, some place to have an overlook, you know, those types of things. You know, we're going to just do the best that we can to kind of glue that experience together and make sure that it's not only something you can enjoy now, but something that won't see the same fate in 5 or 10 years that it did since I've been there.
Do we expect there to be a full demolition of the existing boardwalk and stairs, or is some of that going to be salvaged, or is that still to be determined because of cost and like sustainability?
Yeah, I wouldn't say any of that is final, except I can tell you just off the cuff with our building official, and this is of course the decisions that were slapped on my desk unfortunately a couple years ago, which is I think the boardwalks themselves that go down the bluff, those are going to be difficult to keep, just because even if a section of it is good, let's say, I mean, if you go back and read the archives, the articles of what it took to even put those pilings in 40 years ago, I mean, I couldn't even imagine the engineering, the cost with only $2 million. So I don't think it would be a realistic expectation to say that there's going to be a large-scale raised boardwalk type of feature all the way through the park. Now, I think some of those landings up top are in okay shape, So I think there's some scenarios there where up top, or maybe we build a new kind of lookout that's up top that's ADA compliant, where you can kind of overlook the water, something like that. So keeping and adding on to those kind of street grade pavilions, I think it has a chance, but I don't see any financial feasibility or logistical feasibility of having the same situation that we had before, which is all of those being on raised paths or raised boardwalks.
And as you say, I mean, if it's not the whole thing, you probably can't have any of it, because, you know, it doesn't do much good to have it's here and then it's in the middle. There's nothing in there after that. So, right. Hey, we're talking to Mayor DC.
Doesn't really help us.
Right. Obviously, you were present when the various religious folks came, the, you know, very conservative churches came and protested the Christmas drag queen show at the Sanger Theater. I heard what Adam Cobb said, that it is both a violation of the contract and at this point it would be a content-based restriction. There would be a violation of the First and 14th Amendment. We've had a lot of conversation about that on the show. But they tell me that they are going to continue. They're going to show back up and protest again because they want to get this thing stopped. Your comments to the community? I know you didn't say a lot on Thursday.
Yeah, well, first of all, anybody can come to any meeting and share anything that they want. And so certainly, you know, every citizen has that right to do it. You know, I sat and, you know, heard all of those arguments, the discussions. You know, some more, I believe, more measured than others. But at the end of the day, we will do what we continue to do, which is at the end of the day, AFM is our operator, and they make nothing comes across my desk or our desk about what should or shouldn't be at the Sanger, nor would that make any sense for city government to be making those decisions, both operationally and constitutionally. So we have an operator that does that, and we continue to defer any critiques, criticisms, questions to them. As a matter of fact, I'll be on a call with the national folks later this week to convey my expectation that you do whatever you want to do, but at the end of the day, this was an ASM decision, whether you like it or you don't like it, and so that needs to be deferred to ASM, and they need to say whatever they want to say. I don't know that it's necessarily fair to put any onus on city government that has absolutely no contractual or constitutional ability to pick winners and losers on what should or shouldn't happen in the Sanger Theater, and give off this false presumption that we have more authority over that than we actually do. So I plan on having that discussion with them later this week as well, and making sure that they are conveying that to our community.
Can we also just clarify one thing? Because one of the arguments I've heard is that, you know, it's my tax dollars that are going for this, some of them will say. And, of course, my response is, well, okay, but, you know, the pagans have tax dollars too. And it's not obvious that the Christians' tax dollars are more important than the pagans' tax dollars. But I have been told that none of that might be relevant because the Sanger actually doesn't receive money. It's a net neutral, or even maybe revenues for this. Can you just clarify the money part of it?
Yeah, that's correct. As a matter of fact, yes, it runs at least net neutral, if not receiving revenue. And forget this controversial issue. Take a step back. Why would we be paying an operator to be losing money on this consistently that the taxpayers had to subsidize? You know, we'd probably be looking for another operator. So,
you haven't heard of the Bay Center,
you know,
then?
The whole idea is, well, yeah, well, you have to ask them. But the
sorry, not to jump topics, but you know, go ahead.
Yeah, but this facility runs at that. It actually every ticket you buy actually also is taxpayers, whether you like who the taxpayer is or agree with their beliefs or not. Also helps fund a portion of the ticket, helps fund capital improvements as well. So you could even go a step further and say, actually, some of the capital improvements that would be quote unquote city taxpayer dollars are being generated by anybody who buys a ticket, not necessarily the other way around, where city taxpayer dollars are going in to fund capital improvements. So there's really two layers of ultimately the user is helping fund. So whatever ticket, whatever religion, whatever belief you have, whoever's buying a ticket to whatever show. Whether it's a comedy or it's anything, those dollars are going to actually help with a capital fund for improvements of the same.
Last thing I wanted to ask you about, and pardon me, but I was listening to the city council meeting and then the discussion of the pallet shelters and the deal and the how long in the deal and what the revenue limits were on, you know, charging people for occupancy and all of that stuff. I guess I hadn't really thought it through. I had been operating under the impression that the agencies that were going to be using the pallet shelters were just going to be providing them for people, that it wasn't. But I can see why they would charge. Okay, there's all kinds of elements there. But how will the money work? You know, the city owns them. The entities like Reentry Alliance and Offensive are then going to kind of oversee them. But the people using them are going to pay them like a daily rent. How does the money work?
So very customary in low barrier shelters and in other homeless eviction initiatives. It is more common than not that, think about the pallet shelter in terms of the phases of getting someone off the street. The pallet shelter is not where you go the first night you come off the street, right? There's other facilities that you would be going to, other parts of these same facilities that you'd be going to as you enter into the program.
Okay, so that's, it's not intake. It's not low barrier shelter replacement. Okay, I got you. Go ahead.
But what it is it's inventory replacement to allow more capacity for people to come in, because the idea of pallet shelters is you're starting to get independence. You have a case manager, someone that's helping you get a job, okay, all of that. So it's really, it's more about accountability than it is about revenue. It's kind of say, hey, you've been here 3-4 months. This isn't meant for you to be here for a year. But the idea is you've been working with your case manager. We've got you on your feet. You now have a job. And part of the accountability of having a job is you might pay $5 a night, or you might pay $3 a night. And because the idea is getting you ready to go back into out of the shelter and back into the world where you're going to be accountable to rent and things like that. So that's not unique to these two programs. It is very, very common with any type of multi-step case management and or homeless reduction approach to handle it that way. So okay. I know that for people who don't follow that closely, I've gotten several questions about that. Like, well, why would you charge somebody who is? Well, remember, this is the phase two. This is, we've gotten you on your feet. And again, these are truly meant to be transitional. They don't have a bathroom in them. They're 70 square feet. Right. I mean, it's a bed, it's an air conditioner, it's got a roof over your head. So it gives these folks some independence now that they've kind of got on their feet a little bit. But these are not designed for you to be staying in for 6 months or a year.
And I know that's
still transitional housing.
Yeah, that's how I had originally thought of them, as this is the low barrier shelter option. You can't put somebody in the general population of the shelter, so you put them in here. And to understand that that's not what they're designed for, I appreciate that clarification. I guess the one thing that I wondered about was, if the city owns and is leasing to these entities with all kinds of controls and limits, and they're revenuing off of them, it just seems like an odd arrangement for them to be revenuing off of it if they do, and why would the city not get a share of that revenue? But I'm sure their cost to operate is...
Well, generally, Andrew, on that, it's easy to explain. On that, the amount of money to case manage this and to operate these facilities is multi-millions of dollars a year.
Yeah.
Whatever revenue would come off any of these would be a fraction of a fraction of what it takes to actually run them. It's almost like a community center. If you rent a community center in the city for $100 or $50 or whatever, that doesn't pay our light bill. That doesn't pay our air conditioning bill. It's more of just, hey, this helps offset some costs. There's no world in which either of these organizations are going to be, quote unquote, profiting off of any type of revenue there.
That makes sense.
Going to help feed services. And they're by the way, they are required as part of having these pallet shelters to have case management and to have wraparound services available as well.
Makes sense. And as you say, it's really designed more as a benefit to the user to have this accountability than it is as a revenue stream. So I appreciate that. We always, a great day. I mean, you had a lot of wins at City Council. You know, trees are getting planted, the Bay Bluffs, the, land development code updates, the spending cap. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that happened, and the pallet shelters. I thought that, they yayed a couple of times, and I thought they should have even yayed a little bit more. All right, a couple of lighter topics, the lightning round. Does Mayor D.C. Reeves make his bed every single day?
With some assistance. So the bed gets made.
Is that the way you want to say
it? Yes. Right. It might be a 80-20 Sydney split. Sydney, D.C. But does it get made? The answer is yes.
All right. Very good. When do you make corn on the cob? Are you the cook who cooks corn on the cob? If so, what's your method?
I'm just a classic. Give me a big pot and boil.
Salt, sugar, butter, lemon juice, anything in the water.
I don't eat mayonnaise. I don't want anything crazy. Just give me some butter and salt. pretty vanilla like that.
And is there any ordinary thing in the world that still just kind of amazes you? Examples I use were things like, I think aluminum foil is amazing, and I think, you know, the ordinary pencil is kind of amazing. Is there any technology, even if it's light technology, that you look at and kind of like, wow, that's kind of wild?
That's a big one. I can't think of any. I did use some aluminum foil last night, and it didn't amaze me quite to the level of you. So one that doesn't amaze me that much in 2025.
I'm the guy that can look at almost anything and be fascinated by it. So,
well, you know, I mean, I assume you're setting me up to say how amazing the red light camera technology that we have is.
There was no setup involved whatsoever, and we didn't even get to talk about the noise cameras that New York City is installing that can, you know, give a ticket out on the basis of hearing the noise violation from the car going by. But I'm sure Councilwoman Patton will be all over that as soon as she finds out about it. Mayor D.C. Reeves, as always, thank you so much for the time. We'll talk to you next week, sir.
All right, thank you.
5:54 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Looking for the best in flooring? At Jonathan's Flooring, you can select beautiful luxury vinyl plank flooring with the texture of wood, waterproof, and longer lasting. Jonathan's Flooring offers the most affordable pricing, first-class workmanship and installation, with a large selection of tile, carpet, or the latest in luxury vinyl plank flooring. Performance and sustainability is what makes Jonathan's Flooring the best choice for your floors. Stop by Jonathan's Flooring on North Palafox, south of 9 Mile Road, or online at jonathansflooring.com.
Making it to work on time? No points. Holding the door? Still no points. Remembering trash day? You guessed it, no points. But with the Penn Air Rewards MasterCard, you can get 20,000 points and no balance transfer fees for opening a new card and doing your everyday shopping. Every swipe after? More points, more rewards, more reasons to swipe. Start earning today at pennair.org/creditcards. 20,000 bonus points awarded to new rewards cardholders after the qualifying spend in the first 90 days, insured by NCUA.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Friday evening, join your friends at another gallery night in downtown Pensacola. This month's theme is the Art of Hispanic Heritage. Visit Pensacola.com has more. Saturday morning, enjoy the dozens of vendors at Dr. Martin Luther King's Plaza and Plaza Ferdinand. Grab a freshly brewed coffee and a homemade treat while you take in Palafox Market from 9 till 2. Find more events and submit yours at NewsRadio923.com.
Want to win tickets to Florida State home games? Download our News Radio Pensacola app, then tap that app. Tap that app to enter Monday through Friday on News Radio 92.3.
The big score, anyone, any sex, over 75 years old, has been upped to 100 points.
One of my favorite campy movies from the 70s, Death Race 2000, where you get, you know, it's a race, but you get, it's like Cannonball Run with murder.
Cannonball Run with murder?
Without the zip suits, you know, without Adrian Barbeau and the Countach. I mean, come on. That was every single male teenager in America was sold on Lamborghinis for the rest of their life.
Oh, yes, they. Oh, I was. I know that.
By that movie. But that's the, of course, Cannonball Run movie. Death Race 2000 was the one where they're, you know, they kill people to get points. And, you know, it's a great movie. It really is. Long before you had, you know, Running Man or some of the others. Anyway, 5:58 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. President Trump has arrived at the British Prime Minister's country house northeast of London.
Hey.
President Trump and First Lady Melania arrived by helicopter early today at the Chequers estate, where he was greeted by bagpipes and Prime Minister Keir Starmer and his wife. Pennsylvania mourning three police officers killed yesterday while serving a warrant in York County. Flags there are going to be flying half staff across the state, and authorities say the suspect was also killed by police there. Senator Bernie Sanders has become the first U.S. lawmaker to openly accuse Israel of committing genocide in Gaza. Sanders said on Wednesday that Israel's actions went beyond defending Hamas and possibly constituted a war against the Palestinian people. And that's echoing a recent UN commission report.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 559 here on News Radio 92.3. What else do we have going on? We have more firings, by the way. Like Auburn University has fired some employees over what they call hurtful, insensitive social media remarks related to Charlie Kirk. You have the governor warning teachers in the state of Florida, be careful what you say. Actually, teachers are a very interesting case. It's not the same as a Texas Roadhouse or getting somebody fired from their job in sanitation. You know, like that doesn't have anything to do with their ability to earn a livelihood. It shouldn't. And, you know, opinions there. But teachers, you know, or even Jimmy Kimmel's, and we'll talk more about this coming up. But the product is the opinion, or in the teacher's case, the product is our trust that you have good judgment in teaching kids. And so, you know, I'm more open to having that conversation. But like I said, we'll talk about that coming up.